better throw some respect on my name. Gotta remind these folks on the daily, cause I ain't really been myself as of lately. My mind's evolving and my heart is changing, starting to see the world how it should be. It's positively sweet.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the next episode from Voice to Men. I'm your host, King Terrorless. Yes, and today I have a very special guest on today. I know y'all tell y'all all the time, I got a little brother's brother. It's like everyone come on and seem like it's a different little brother. But you understand, in this community where it grew up in, certain people just connect together and you just make a brotherly bond. Unlike a lot of people, I cherish these people and treat them as if they were my actual brothers. And this young man, I done met him since he was a freshman in high school, aggravating me, following me, trying to talk to me all the time. But low-key, he a top-of-the-line guy. Great father. Man, a great brother. A great friend. A great person just to be around and have in your corner. And that's rare to come by these days. So, if y'all ain't doing nothing, please put your hands together for my guest, Trey Fowler.
Hey, I appreciate it. Hang on, I thought you was gonna jack up the intro for me.
You actually
came from the heart. I thought you was gonna be on some goofy stuff. So I.
Hey, goofy Terror Miss left in high school. You ain't seen that guy in a long time. Yes, I used to be a clown, but.
Used to be is the crazy part.
Yeah, man. Back in the day, man. But you know, one thing, this is something I actually gotta let y'all know. Back in the day, yeah, I was a clown. Even closer back in the day, yeah, I may have been a womanizer. But at the end of the day, we learn from our past, we grow from it, and don't ever let nobody hold you in your past. You always keep evolving and keep letting your light shine and show them who you are now versus who you was back then. And if they can't see that, that's their loss, not yours.
100.
Oh, yeah.
100. Why did they do that?
Oh, yeah.
Facts. Everything you said, facts.
Look, this guy, shoot. I remember when he first started coming to play basketball at West Florida High School Advanced Technology. New Tech, not this new West Florida. New Tech.
New Tech, yeah.
New Tech.
The real Tech.
The real Tech. Back at George Stone.
Oh, man.
What?
I remember my first time. I did not like you. My first meeting,
I clowned everybody. Yeah. I was like, oh, yeah. You
clowned me hard. Clowned me hard for no reason. For no reason.
Because you look like Mike Riley. Look, Mike Riley could have been your brother. Bro.
I was so tired of that Lil Riley claim, man. Mike, if you watch this, they made me hate you. They made me hate you.
Ain't my fault you had the same forehead.
Yeah, it was crazy work.
Y'all had the same forehead, the same little smirky file. Y'all teeth looked exactly the same.
Crazy work.
It's like, dang, Mike, you got a little brother? I ain't know that.
Nah, it was definitely, but once I think basketball always been a great common denominator between people. Yeah. And we had that same love, and you had a way about just bringing the team together, bringing the people around you together, and I wanted to duplicate that any way I could. And so I started wanting to follow you, started just trying to peep the energy, and that started 2009, and now here we are today.
Oh yeah, man, look, the crazy thing about it, I wasn't the leader of our team, though. I just got tired of the bullshit. Look, one thing about it, I know we're gonna run regardless. But we running for shit that we shouldn't be running for. I had to learn to call them out. And funny thing about it, now I'm a coach. And I'm waiting for that one person on the team to be the next me. And I'm like, bro, I had to do it. Just do it. I'm waiting for them to pull the trigger and do it. Mm-hmm. But
you ain't gonna get the other kids these days, man. They it's a different kind of basketball. It's a different kind of generation playing. Yeah. We said that two old heads, but it's just changed so much from now. You just look at 10 years and like the kids in high school now. I don't know. We can go on that for days. They get pushed in a different way. They find their love for the game in a different different way than what we did.
Look, and I see, and you just told me early on that you was actually coaching, well, not coaching, you're training some of the kids at Milton. I played against some of the kids you're training. I see the work you're putting into these kids. Like, these kids are coming around. They got an old school feel out there at Milton.
Yeah.
I'm trying to re-implement that here at the high school I'm coaching at. But, man, it's like so much ego. And that's something we never had to worry about.
No.
We had a couple people in my class that graduated me that actually did have the ego problem. But we wasn't scared of getting in each other's face and, like, call people out. Like, bro, boom.
Yeah.
Like, me, I ain't gonna lie. I didn't catch the ball. Like, ball, my hand was just, it dropped. Hey, I'm dropping everything. But look, what I mess up on offense, I made up for on defense.
Oh, you was definitely gonna get it back on defense. And that's one thing you could for sure hang your hat on.
Like, I'm trying to keep effort.
Don't run no plays through Terrence, though.
Yeah,
you don't run no offense through him.
No, hey. In the word of the coach Goldman, why are you passing the ball? He was open. Hey, coach, my bad. My hands were bricks. And I can admit my flaws. But now, if you have seen me when I played in the military, boy, I was in that bit like Kobe. Matter of fact, it looked like Derrick Rose, but look, it took me, it's funny about it, it waited until after I got out of high school to actually get the confidence to actually develop my game for myself versus worrying about what coach gonna say. Because I know I'll mess up one time, what coach was like, hey, go get him.
I think that was one of the things a lot of people, you play for Coach Coleman.
Yeah.
Great coach, first of all. Shout out Coach Coleman. He was more than a coach to me. That man stepped in as a father figure for me in a lot of different ways. But throughout high school, he just taught a different kind of discipline. It wasn't just about the game of basketball.
Facts.
And sometimes, at that young stage, you don't think about, like, I'm here to get better at basketball. And he was preparing us for life.
Yes.
And we all learned that and picked that up somewhere after we got out of New Tech. And I think the biggest part was understanding his reasoning behind doing things was so unorthodox, bro. And his, like, I mean, his way of doing things was so unorthodox, but his reasoning was always just.
Yeah. Now, that's one thing. It took me till I was coaching to learn.
Yeah.
I appreciate. Like, my high school, people understand, our high school was different from every high school. It was a magnet school. You got people come from all over. And most of the people that played basketball with us never even touched the court before they got there. So you try to make a team out of a team of
Diverse
background, athletic, not really built team organization, and
right.
Look, you try to make a turd shine, and luckily we did that in 2010. We made it shine.
Y'all did it, man. My freshman year coming in, y'all found a way to make that happen, man. Yeah. Coming into that team, and coming into y'all bringing that championship to West Florida, that was crazy. That environment, what y'all did for the basketball program, like, that was a laughing stock, bro. It was
trust me.
If it wasn't for Coach Coleman, I would put this on. If it wasn't for Coach Coleman, I would not have went to West Florida at all. They were not my first choice. But it was a great education.
Yeah.
And Coach Coleman, he just knew that he was going to build something there. He knew the guys that he had, y'all, that was already there, that y'all was going to get something accomplished. And y'all did that. To this point, y'all the only ones that did that.
Yeah.
So,
and look, last
hopefully you coaching there now, y'all can change that.
What? Look, that's the thing about it. I'm trying to teach the kids to be patient because I got a lot of incoming freshmen that are more skill wise prepared.
Yeah.
Like the West Florida for the first time actually got the problem of, wait, we got too much talent. We're trying to figure out how we're going to handle it. Who we're going to pick.
That might be the first anytime ever. Unless it's football or baseball, that might be the first time anybody ever used that sentence.
In basketball. And I was like, we're using this for our basketball program. And it's crazy because, like, what you say about Coach? I got to give him his flowers. Because it didn't make sense back then.
At all.
I was like, man, this man can't coach. This man can't do nothing. But I look at the discipline we had when it came to the game of basketball and the effort we put out, I look at these kids these days, it's not even matched.
Yeah.
Like, they don't even care about the fundamentals. They don't care about the basics. They just care about, oh, how many points I score? How many this? Like, people don't understand the game of basketball. It's kind of like everybody don't understand the little parts you got to play in order to get the championship. They always look at the big things, the big objects that you got to move. Man, these little things here and there. Man, I played people bigger than me than you could ever imagine. I played against Julio Jones. This man was a freaking freak of a nature,
and
looking like he's a fucking chiseled Greek god, just coming from Foley. Yeah. And look, that kid, and he had a vertical out the ass.
He never left the paint, bro.
Exactly.
Grabbed everything.
And like, how do you stop that? And playing against people like Aaron and Beasley, who played at PHS, 6'9", 1 point guard, one's a big man. And, like, really the grit and grind that we went through, like, the teams that were 10 times outsized us, but we still competed, and we brought effort. And that's something that I feel like need to come back to not just this area, but all sports area, because, man.
I think it started with the environment. I think one of the cool things right now, we just started, like, the Pensacola Men's League that they just started over here. Shout out to Andrew who started that up. But different the environment that these kids been able to see around them play a lot. And so, because it's one thing to love the game of basketball, love whatever sport it is that you play.
Yeah.
But it's another thing to be able to have the resources and the outlets and the players and people.
Because
I grew up and came into a time, I'm reading about all the stories of the athletes from Pensacola.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm never getting to see none of them. I'm never seeing them come back into the city and play in the summer, work out in the summer, like, you know. And so I made that an emphasis once I started, you know, growing myself in basketball and getting better opportunities. Like, I always wanted to, I never said no to the next generation or next people that wanted to train or do it, because they need to be able to see that kind of stuff. They need to see the work out. They need to see the things. And I think Coach Coleman was ahead of his time in the sense of he was instilling disciplines and instilling, like, just that never give up fight and people who, basketball was something we loved to do, but we didn't know it was something that we could be great at.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And I ain't learned that till, and what made me so mad, I ain't learned it till after I was out of there.
Yeah.
Because after that, actually learning what I was capable of doing.
Facts.
As long as I was going to give my effort and work on it, you can build any skill in life. I went to the military. Look, I'm shooting threes and making them. Coach Coleman, if I would have shot a three back in the day,
I'm in the eclipse on that.
Hey.
I'm in the eclipse on that.
Hey, look. Hey, I was making threes. Hey, my mid-range game got together. I was dunking. I was like, look, y'all saying my coach in high school, he would literally say, hey, if you go for a dunk and you miss it, you just may well not even touch the court again.
Man.
Look, but
how you think I felt? If I, bro.
What?
Look. If I took a three, and that's all I do. If I took a three, it was like I knew them eyes was piercing at me.
He already for you, like.
My sub coming up.
Like, he's his hand going.
Like, it went to my junior year that he finally was like, I can't, Trey just going to do it.
And that's also why you call you little Mike, because Mike can do the same thing. He the one that's all pulling threes. Like, all right,
there was a lot of similarities.
So Mike, why? Now, you make it, all right, cool. But then he hit this slow run back on defense. I'm like, why are you slow running it back on defense? I'm like, come on, man. Move your feet.
Oh, man.
But no, actually.
Great.
And I appreciate that kind of family thing we built out there. Because it was, like I said, we had a chance to change the narrative. And from then on, the narrative kind of, it been growing steadily.
Mm-hmm.
It took it to now to actually get to where it's at. They had some great teams. Your brother was on one of the great teams out there. Then he transferred to Milton.
Yeah.
Look, that team could have actually, they stayed together.
If we kept that freshman core of those, all those, boy.
Yeah.
West Weather would have been a powerhouse.
Well.
For sure. I think that in the midst of it all, it was, like you said, like you touched on earlier, it was a bunch of us coming from all different types of backgrounds. Like, for me personally, I had just, it had only been 2 years removed from me moving from Atlanta to Pensacola. So, like, a lot of the stuff was still so new to me. And then I just knew that I loved basketball. And then I got to this school where I'm like, you had to be accepted to this school. It was just a lot of change.
What?
And when, but one thing I do, like, you absolutely right. We built a family. And, like, outside of basketball, we was always, it was something. It was either going to games, to the football games together, or just being always in the gym. We was trying to find sneak ways to be in the gym all the time.
And, look, Coach Coleman provided that for us, an open gym. Yep. Cause look, I look at kids these days, they ain't really got the same outlets like we did. Like, they don't hardly have open gyms no more.
No.
Then, on top of the two, the UWF, they closed down the outside courts where, to be honest, that's where a lot of kids learn how to even play, get tougher, yeah, and work on their skills.
That's where you earned your name at.
You earned your name. And even on 12th Avenue Park, like, you don't see no kids doing no pickup games no more.
No. Nope.
But that comes with the time, because a lot of kids, they don't have no communication skills. They don't want to talk nothing. Then they go out there and want to be, like, off a power beam or some gangster and then trying to. I'm like, bro, if you lose, something happened on the court, learn, play through it. Because yeah, that's what's going to happen in the game. You can't shoot. You can't go to the locker room and pull out a gun, come back on the court and play basketball.
Yeah.
Like that's not. You got to. People don't understand how to deal with conflict in the midst of the action. Because that's always going to happen. Because I remember a time Marcus Rivers got in a fight when we played some kids from, what was it? It wasn't Foley. No, it wasn't Foley. Was it? I think we're playing Fairhope. Man, like, the things I appreciate the things that I learned from sports, and especially from Coach Coleman. Because at first, I didn't realize what he had taught me.
Mm-hmm.
Until I got to the point of being a adult and have to give him credit.
Yeah.
There should have been no way we should have accomplished anything we did ever. But especially what we had to work with and what we have now, man.
Definitely.
Coach Coleman, you may go down as the greatest basketball coach at West Florida High School.
I don't think there's no question about it. I think until this day, until somebody else can do what he did, and I think he's gonna lead them. He's still leading wins and still got the chip.
Yeah, well, actually, I'm coming for him. If I ever have the chance to become a head coach,
I wish that too.
Coach,
in my book, you still got it. Like, even though you ain't like,
I don't know about that. Look, you alright, but guess what?
Oh, good.
I'm coming. I'm coming, because look, think about it. Technically, if we win a district championship, my name is on two banners, not one.
Player and coach.
I'm the greatest. I am the greatest. I am the Ali of West Florida.
Oh, you see, you always know how to take an inch and turn it to a mile. You do.
All right, all right. Give me. I'll be Dwayne The Rock Johnson. Whoopie-doo. Smell what I'm cooking. But no,
man.
So wait, after you left there, didn't you play overseas and everything?
After there, I got into some trouble my senior year. So after high school, I also went to the military, went to the Navy.
Oh, yeah, you did go to Navy too.
Yeah. Went to the Navy, ended up messing up my knee 2 weeks before graduating. Yeah, frustrating, man. Injuries been a huge part of my life, bro. But,
if you only get, before graduating boot camp?
Yeah.
That means you didn't even. Dang.
Yeah.
Dang.
Yeah.
Well, at least you can still can be considered a veteran, kind of.
I don't even. To respect to all the vets out there, I don't even wear the
title. Nah, look, you went the. Cause I know kids that.
I went through hell.
Yeah, they didn't know they had shingles.
Yeah.
And they found out they do a blood test and see if you got shingles, and you basically get kicked out right then and there. Mm-hmm. They went through 4 to 5 weeks of hell.
I saw some guys who found out about their sickle cell.
Found out
about their sickle cell stuff right then. During basic and then SEPs.
Yep.
Yeah. And then so that's crazy. So then after that, actually, I got out, rehabbed a bit, and then I ended up moving to Atlanta and started doing semi-pro.
Yeah, that's what I remember. Yeah, semi-pro.
Yeah, and that's where the basketball thing, I think that's where it transitioned for me. And I really found myself as a player, found the opportunity. Coach Payton, thank Atlanta Wildcats for giving me that opportunity. I grew as a basketball player a lot, being able to play in Atlanta and be around some, still to this day, I say some of the best talent I've ever seen in my life. I was able to attend the AABL and see amazing NBA players, amazing college players, overseas players, and the work ethic that it takes to be there and sustain that. So that opened up a lot of doors for me. And then I was about to transition to playing overseas, had opportunities, and then ended up having, a year or two ago, ended up having surgery on my foot. I tore my plantar fasciitis. Never rehabbed it, never recovered the way I wanted to. And so the game from there just became a teaching. Yeah. It just became however I can give back to the game that I love and help try to grow it for the next one. That's what the focus became.
Dang. I ain't like you and me both with these injuries.
Ah, man, there's some of it. I think it's playing on concrete all our life.
Yeah. Like you said earlier before we had to go on the show, because like I was telling you about how Snowpole laid out for me. Like, God laid it out perfect. Because look, if y'all don't understand, look, I'm 32. I'm going WWE right now. Jade Cargill, she went to the University of North Florida in Jacksonville, where I was supposed to go to school. Then I decided, nah, screw that. Then ended up going to PJC at the time. And then, boom. I missed the opportunity.
You don't know what you could have been, but some opportunities was out there.
Then 2016, Road Dogg Jesse James, who is from Jay, Florida, right outside of Pensacola, came in the mall, told me go try with their baby. Didn't do it.
Ignoring blessings.
I could have been married to Bianca Belair.
Allegedly, we just gonna put that.
She wouldn't have been with the other dude. He would have been with me. I could have been Mr. Belair.
Inch to a mile. But oh, you see, yeah, opportunities.
Them opportunities they even though they missed, think about it, you took every opportunity to be in the right place, right time.
For sure.
Especially for right now, because if I would have did that, who knew what I would be?
Yeah.
Like, these choices you make, sometimes it could ricochet your life a whole different way. But you got to trust in God's plan. Don't be scared to take that leap, because you never know. And you don't want to have no regret. You never know. I'm 32. I might be able to still try out for WWE. Hey, be an announcer.
I'll never shoot down somebody's dream, man. You do.
I could be a manager. I believe it. I could be a manager. Look.
I ain't gonna lie, King. I don't know if you can manage yourself.
Look, I could be the person who take the falls for the people out there. Like the person who go out there and score them out. Be like, oh yeah, boom, boom, boom. I take some bumps here and there, but.
Hey, King. Whatever. Hey, I support always.
But yeah, but nah. So basketball, basically, how did that feel when you realized that guy is real? Because
it's a beauty in it. I think through some other things that I experienced in my life, I was able to learn how to really, really stop and smell the roses per se. You know, and really pay attention to, like, there's so many other finer details in life that we have to be appreciative of. And I think I just started learning how to do that. The game of basketball helped. It was a therapy for me before I knew what therapy was.
Yeah.
And so what stepping away from it allowed me to do was to really start seeing the growth in other areas of my life. Becoming a father at a young age.
Yeah.
Becoming, getting engaged at a young age. So it's different things outside of the game of basketball that I was able to start really paying attention to and developing that allowed me to do that. I still try to stay involved in basketball. I play now, play in leagues. But I think the biggest thing I can do now is, like, everything I've learned, all the amazing opportunities I had, I just try to spill it to whoever want to listen and just going from there. Now I have two sons who hopefully as they get older, I can pass those things on and, you know, they can pick that torch up if they want to and run with it.
I love it. Man, you said right there, especially something you can pass down to your kids just along. And look, imagine they just pick up the ball without you even actually putting the ball in their hand.
Man, one of them, he already naturally doing that. My youngest, Kenzo, you can already see, like, anytime a basketball is present, he wants his hands on it. And then my oldest son, he's just all over. He's diverse. So we're going to find out what his niche is. we tried some things and wasn't hitting there yet, but we're going to find out what his niche is, and he's going to be great at it.
I feel it.
And that's good with the support of a father, because people are saying how important the father supporting their kids and their dreams is. It could be, absolutely, it can make and break everything. Like, I tell my kids now, I don't tell them I believe in them. I tell them, I know you can do anything. I know you're capable of multiple things.
Yeah.
But are you going to do the work it takes? Now, if you really want to 10-step down this path, I'm here to help you any way possible. I come out, find out what workout plan I can get you, with the trainer you need, with athletic-wise, school-wise, academic-wise, it doesn't matter,
yeah,
music-wise. If this is what you want to do, let's do it. And let's do it to the best of our ability. Like, I'm really trying to instill a creed in my kids.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing mediocre. If we're doing it, we're doing it to the best of our ability.
100%.
If we can't do that, what are we doing it for?
Yeah. I think I grew up with a dad who was very much a LeVar Ball type father. Me and my brothers, man, we started playing basketball at the ages 4 and 5. Like, that's all we knew. I've had a basketball in my hand all my life. And but I think in that same sense, in a way, even though he had his unorthodox way of doing it,
yeah,
it was teaching the same thing of, like, there was nobody who's going to put a limitation on us. You couldn't tell me and my brother that we couldn't play in the league. It wasn't nobody else's decision. It was just if we wanted to go do it or not.
Yeah.
And I felt like when you can instill that kind of confidence in, whether you have a daughter or a son, your child, if you can instill the confidence in them and they know no matter how many people are in front of them, what's behind them, and who's supporting them, everything else is just, you know, shooting for the stars, shooting for whatever else you want to. And that's the kind of thing that I'm trying to do with my kids every single day. It doesn't matter if we're talking about, you know, school, if we're talking about whatever activities they want to do, even just the simple things of around the house, chore, everything you do, just do it with a purpose.
Yeah.
Do it with a sense of, like, you know that you control this and that it all up to you. And as long as we can instill that and find healthy ways and instill that in our children, I think you don't have to worry about the future.
Yeah.
For your kids or for yourself.
Damn. What are you talking about? What are you preaching? All right. So, you said something about your dad won like LeVar Ball. So which brother were you? Are you a Lonzo Ball, or are you a Jello, or are you the LaMelo?
Be honest with you, I was Lonzo. My Ed, you know Ed, yeah, my brother, bro, that is the
Melo.
He is the most God-given
freak athlete.
One of the best in Pensacola. I don't care what people say. Like, my brother is just God-given talent. If you saw him, if you know him, the charisma is there too, just like LaMelo. He is literally a LaMelo. He is.
Hey, you heard it. You're LaMelo.
He got talent-wise, my brother, hands down. Like that, yeah, he's him for sure. I was Lonzo. I was always just the one to spearhead everything. Yeah. I was always being the one to, for me, everything was just always a calmness about everything. I think for my childhood and things, how I grew up, basketball was always never going to get too high or too stressful or too any of that, because it wasn't life.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I think because of that, it just allowed me to keep a mellow head all the time.
I like that. Everybody used to always say it back in the day, ball is life. And I was like, shoot, I started trying to be like, for ball sure is life, and I realized.
If you didn't have a ball is life mixtape, you wasn't really doing nothing.
UWF mixtapes 2010.
Yeah, we were trying to make something.
I was trying to.
That's crazy.
But look.
Oh, that's nostalgic. That's crazy.
And you see so many different age groups out there, from high school to grown men, and you get treated as an equal. People don't understand. Stepping on the blacktop outside and being around people that are big, older than you, bigger than you, and them treating you as equal is a respect thing that you can only find on a court. They're like, bro, I ain't gonna knock this man game. I don't know what his game is. Anybody, any given day, anybody come out there and they shine.
Yeah.
Boy, we had a dude by the name Tony Hawk, and this white boy can jump out the motherfucking gym. And that man was,
fly.
And every time I see him, I'm like, hey, I got Tony. Tony on my team.
But, man, but I say, for sure, I think the UWF Blacktop, man, that was such a pivotal thing for us, because it was literally, it felt like at times the only place you could run away and escape.
Yeah.
Certain crime, certain things that was going on heavy around Pensacola. And I felt like, on when you say in basketball terms, like, you got to grow. Like, a lot of kids these days, they miss out on, like you said, the fundamentals of basketball. You weren't just going to go on the court and think that you can go put up seven, eight shots. No, if you have to earn your way to get the ball. You have to earn your way to stay on the court. It's 30, 40 people trying to play.
If you get off the court then,
you're going home.
Hey, you got two other courts.
That's it. You got to go play on loser's court on the other side of the wall.
Hey, in a loser court.
Never that.
If you got over the shining, look. You can get humble so quickly.
Oh my gosh.
And nobody want to play over there.
At all.
And look, you out there from places like 3 to 10 o'clock, and them was some of the greatest nights of the summer. You just out there just.
Even if you didn't get to play, I remember being like 12, like just going out there and you just standing out there watching. And you just like, oh, I gotta go. You go home trying to practice stuff you seen dudes do because you're like, I'm going to go out there and beat them. And then I'm going to go to high school and kill. And that's like, for me, like, it was my dad put me out there and it was teaching me toughness. Yeah. It was teaching like, bro, I'm 12 years old, 13 years old when I finally got out there playing. And, you know, grown men, you get hit with screens, you get knocked on the ground, get up.
You want to play with me?
You want to play, get up. You know what I mean? And it started teaching you like how to be tough. It started teaching, but then in basketball terms, you're learning like, I want the ball, I got to cut. Yeah. I got to guard this man.
You got to learn how to move without the ball. And that's how you got to do in life. Like sometimes the ball ain't in your hand of life.
Yeah.
And sometimes you got to move. And sometimes you're going to get hit with a screen that you don't even want to see coming. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it blindsides you and keep you down longer than you expect. Because I know you've been hit with a screen in your life, too. Because I remember that when we heard the message about that happening, I was in disbelief. I was like, Trey don't mess with nobody. What the freak y'all talking about? But that's not my story to tell. That's your story to tell.
Yeah, man.
So if you want to touch on that screen, that
May 9th, 2017. If you want to call it a screen, you call it a screen, call it a flagrant foul. Yeah. it rocked my life for sure. I was involved in a carjacking that turned into a kidnapping, that turned into a attempted murder, being shot in the head.
Yeah.
It was, man. I felt like that moment changed life for me, changed the viewpoint, the vantage point of life for me altogether. Solely for the fact who I was before that day and the man I became after rehab are night and day people.
Yeah. They kind of died too.
I wasn't prepared. My family wasn't prepared. Nobody was prepared for that. You know what I mean? I went to church. I grew up in a very Christian based family. You know, I had my belief. There was no. But I was in college. I had just became a freshman in college. I had just started going through, you know, I was definitely finding myself as a young man and then just being in the wrong place at the wrong time changed my life forever. I got the bullet taken out, I think, 2 years ago. So, yeah. So it sat in the back of my neck for, I don't even know how many years that was, 4 or 5 years after that. And, just the whole experience in itself, just like I told you earlier, it just made me start really valuing life and really understanding, like, this thing can be taken from us at any moment. And so opportunities don't come to people who wait. We hear that all the time, not to be taboo or anything like that, but you really have to have a sense of urgency about life. You really have to have a sense of want and desire to accomplish something and what you're going to leave behind once, you know, it's all said and done. And that moment, going through that, having to, you know, look the person who tried to take my life, having to look at him and look at his family, look at his young kids and, you know, give forgiveness. I felt like those kind of things were things I would not have been able to even cope with if it wasn't for those little situations, those little things that I grew up and being put in, like the UWF Black Corps, like having Coach Coleman. Like, it's certain little things that just really helped me later on in life.
Yeah, because it's hard to, it's really, especially when you see the people in your eyes that try to take everything away from you. Mm-hmm. Because most people are saying, you go through so many mixed emotions. You got anger, you got anxiety, you got rage, you think about everything you've been through and what it brought you to and what it made you, and trying to forgive is so hard. And sometimes it's something we have to do in order to just let go and be peace and move on, because it just end up becoming a cycle that would never be broke.
Yeah. The mental fight is what, you know, every single person I know about the incident in my life, and, you know, the number one question is like, oh, like, how did you feel? Like, how you feel about, you know, this, or how you feel about that? And I think the, I always tell people, going through the shooting and the being shot and all that stuff, like, that was all a millisecond. It was sitting in a rehabilitation room by myself for almost 6 months. That is where the struggle happened. That is where the, you have to really look in the mirror, redefine, and it really came to a point where I was really having to ask a lot of soul-wrenching questions about where my life was headed, what I was doing with my life at the time, and my relationship with God, to be honest. I grew and actually developed, reawakened my relationship with God going through that passage by myself. I was a person who, I mean, you knew me from high school, is I was very much all about people. Yeah. I needed to be around people. I needed to have the people's eyes on me. I needed, and so to go from that to being, there's nobody coming to the door. There's nobody coming to visit. Yeah. There's nobody calling. Family, friends, you know what I mean? But for a long time, I was under John Doe. I didn't have, because the person was still loose.
Yeah.
So, you know what I mean? So going through that was the point where forgiveness was the last thing on my mind. But it quickly became the first step in rehabilitating from and trying to create a new life. Like, if you're not able to start off with letting go of the past and letting go of those traumas and that hurt, then there's no way you're going to progress from that.
Man. Because, look, I know it. And then I've been in a situation before
like that. Because I got accused of all this stuff. It showed me, like, people understand. That was like how you was in there for 6 months. I was in jail for 3 months. That was the most freeing moment of my life. I'll put it like that. Because I had to sit there and deal with me and reflect on everything. And got to build a relationship stronger with God. Mm-hmm. I ain't had nothing but time on my hand. You probably had nothing but time on your hand. You think about it, all these people in your life that you feel like supposed to be there, and they're supposed to be like, hey, here's the phone, you call this and third, and they not. It taught me that I ain't have to be around people to have peace. I had to find peace within me.
Facts.
And if I didn't have peace within me, that I can never have peace outward.
Exactly.
Like, people ask me now, like, I just rarely see me out. They're like, why don't you go out? And I was like, man, look, that part of my life is done.
Yeah.
It's gone. It's like, I find no enjoyment in it no more.
Heck yeah.
I would like when I could just sit around at the house. I see my kids running around. My mom, my grandma, they may say I'm aggravating them, but I'm just spreading love and just asking them questions. And most of the time, they don't understand it either, because, like, I still struggle a little bit with it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I still struggle every now and then, be like, in my head, mentally, be like, But I just try to, every moment when I'm with them, I hide it a little bit, but I try to make sure as much love as I can give at that moment, because sometimes I don't know when or if one day I can't control this up in here.
Yeah.
I already had these thoughts about what would happen. I just, you know, be like, boom, just try to show them so much love, and I'll be like, man, this is why it's worth living. It's why I'm glad I got a second chance to actually put them and give them my love and affection, because
this Father's Day, I don't know what happened. I was in the darkest place. My baby's here loving on me, but it's just like looking at
empty.
Empty. And I'm just like, I'm not where I want to be.
Yeah.
Started thinking.
I think a lot of it for a lot of guys who have been through trauma, we are raised to not speak on emotion.
Oh, yeah.
And you can, there's a million people who do podcasts now, a million people who do some type of book or whatever, who talk about these kind of things. And there's some truth to it. There's some, everybody got different stories, different variations of it. But the truth, the line that it all starts on is, if you have to be okay, I always say like the strength in isolation.
Yeah.
Sometimes you have to just be okay and know when to reset with yourself.
Yeah.
When you start having these moments, these traumatizing moments that try to creep back up, the enemy, is always going to try. He just needs a little hope.
Yeah.
He just needs a little doubt, a little shame, and that's it. And so you have to always be able to create, even if you can't make, if it's not already made for you, you have to create a place and a space for yourself to be able to reset, get away from everything, replenish yourself, replenish your love, replenish your confidence before you can go back and give it out to others. I think with me, a lot of people who know me just feel like it's a very nonchalant attitude to a lot of things. Sometimes it can definitely be mistaken as like a lack of care.
Yeah.
But I think a lot of it for me is I've become at peace.
Yeah.
With so many different things in life.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There's not the fear of death. There's not the fear of anything.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So every single day is just worth living. Every single memory is just worth having. And I feel like for a lot of guys, that's what I try to, you know, when I speak to guys about who, I do my own private, I don't ever reach out, but people who hear the story and they want to talk about traumatic histories, traumatic things, that I'm always open to speaking with them, because the hardest part is literally being able to step away from people. Because as much as the people around us love us and they know what happened and the friends know what happened, I don't think a lot of people take into account that even though they're trying to show love, they keep bringing back up
the memory and the trauma,
a dark time that you're trying to get away from.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's so hard to, you don't want to reject love.
Yeah.
You don't want to reject people who care, but like they're not understanding at the same time. It's a double-edged sword.
Yeah.
Because I thank you for caring, but at the same time, you're
rehashing over and over again.
And so if you're not able to have the strength in that isolation and being able to get by yourself and be with yourself and understand like, I'm okay. Whatever's being said out here, whatever people are trying to pour in love and they're still bringing that, no matter what it is, I'm good. And now all the rest of that stuff can just, the dominoes can fall where they do, because it won't trigger you in a way where you're losing yourself again. And I feel like a lot of guys need those conversations, need those spaces. And that's kind of more of a thing that I feel like need to be pushed for. And for a lot of guys, is just being able to have that space, whatever that is for you. You know, that is, if it's golf, if it's just reading, if it's whatever it is. For me, it's always been writing. I love to write. And so just being able to just write and journal and have something for myself has always been that safe haven for me. But having that strength in isolation is, that's what's needed for every person who's ever been through a traumatic, man or woman. I don't want that to just be about men, but for anybody, you have to be able to have time for yourself.
Facts. Because I think back on it now, the last couple of months, I've been stretched so thin and didn't have no time for myself. And then my therapist is not covered by the VA no more.
Mm.
So I'm trying to find a new therapist and all this other stuff. It's just been like, and I ain't really, like really, people understand this is also like my therapy, because it's more like a group therapy for me.
Mm-hmm.
My podcast, it's called From Boys to Men, and it's based off of everything we're supposed to go through on a day-to-day basis. But like, this is my safe place. Right here, I can be me and be as vulnerable as I can ever be.
Facts.
And not get judged for it, not worry about it, and just be like, I'm okay. Boom, I get to let it all out. Because I still got, like you said, similar with you, I have people bring up my past, my history, And it's just like, one, I need you to actually look into the story and do some fact digging.
Yeah.
Two, if that was me back then, that ain't me now. Like,
and that's one of the hardest things, man. Yeah. That right there, with that sentence right there, is one of the hardest things. Like, you kind of have to treat it, again, going back to basketball and everything.
Yeah.
You kind of have to treat it like media. Like, how you do media training is, at the end of the day, man, people are always going to have something to say.
Yeah.
Everybody got a different version of the story. Everybody got a different... Some people like to input themselves into a story that didn't even involve them and put their emotions into the story. But at the end of the day, if you're not able to, like I said, just be able to step out of it, step back and just know, you know that you're not that person.
Yeah.
You know that that stuff that is behind you. So let everybody else just enjoy whatever movie they're choosing to watch.
Yeah.
Every story they're choosing to read, let them be that. That's their life.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, I mean, they get to carry that with them. At the end of the day, you play the part in somebody's life. Whatever part that is, that's not for us to know.
Yeah.
We didn't choreograph it that way. Whoever watched this and see the stories and hear two men having a conversation about emotional weakness, they can take that however they want. There's some that's going to find encouragement in it. There's some who are going to say, y'all is just two weak men talking on a podcast. At the end of the day, we go home to our families.
We
get to see our kids. So, like,
yeah.
I just learned a long time ago that, like, there's just different things in life that you can just choose to be stressed about.
Yeah.
And there's just different things and avenues that, like, you just, it's not worth the fight. It's not worth the thing. And so, when you just find that and you're able to have that sense of calmness, that sense of self-worth, that sense of self-confidence, it just changes the whole playing field, the whole thing of life for us. And I definitely continue to pray that you find that every single day.
I pray for you too, bro. Because look, I have learned this. Because most, back to basketball. Everything going back to basketball and sports right now. But sometimes we can only see the past right in front of us. But you got the people from the stand. Or the people, the coach is looking back at the game film that see the whole game, the whole perspective. And that's God. We just got to trust him and make the smartest pass we can make to the open man and hope for the best. We just got to trust in him and know that he's calling the show.
Oh.
And he ain't going to put us in a position that we can't handle. He want us to win. No matter what, everything gonna work out for our good.
Yeah.
Because I realize what I've been through made me that much stronger and made me who I am. And I had to appreciate that, because if it wasn't for that, I wouldn't be me. And I wouldn't be able to express my emotions and everything to others or my kids. And I'm grateful. I realize this. I'm grateful for all of it. The trials, the tribulations, everything, the people that was there, the people that wasn't there. I'm grateful, because if it had been any way different, I might not be who I am right now.
Thanks.
They, like you said, they had to play their role.
Always.
And I'm thankful for the role they played. I'm thankful for even the people that are still playing their role. I'm thankful and I'm grateful, because, like, it's just a reminder every day. Like you said, my past is behind me. If they only knew how far I came from that moment.
Mm-hmm.
But just find that out, ain't for them to know.
Exactly.
I get to go back and look at it like, I feel like one of LeBron, like them commercials with LeBron, old high school.
With himself.
It's like, boom. If I knew I had to go through this to get where I'm at, I probably wouldn't even want to go through it. But I'm glad God put me through it.
Facts.
To be the man I am now. I'm not perfect. I'm not by the long shot. But I am better than I was back then. And for that, bro, first God, pops, thank you.
Always.
Always. But yeah, I ain't gonna lie, when I heard that about the whole incident, it had me shook.
Yeah. A lot of people. I think, man, is, I will say, even though I just went on the segment about how it was going through the isolation period, I will say there was so much love shown. There was so much, I learned how much of a community of people and friends and like the relationships that I created with people once I was able to get out.
Yeah.
And that in itself also was a huge, huge part in what led to me being able to grow into the person I am now. A lot of people, for the first time in my life, got to view me as not just Trey, a basketball player.
Yeah.
You know, they actually got to see Trey, the person. There's some people who only saw me as Trey, the person. I didn't even realize that.
Yeah.
And so that part in itself allowed me to just be like, there was so much more to life that I wanted to start focusing on. There was so many other things that I wanted to start wrapping myself into that, yeah, that entire moment in life, man, it seemed like such a far memory now. It's like, wow, you like, you bring somebody, bring it up, and then sometimes you catch me off guard. I'm like, dang, that did happen to me. But yeah, man, it was a huge transition, but it brought me here, being able to be on this wonderful podcast and share that story and share other amazing stories. So again, like you said, I'll never change the past. Everything that happened, I'm glad that it did.
You said some real stuff right there too. I ain't never realized, like, a lot of people never seen me as Terrence or Chris the person.
Mm-hmm.
It's always Chris.
Chris the promoter.
It's weird because, like, count on probably one hand how many people I had the conversation with that actually knew the person.
Facts.
Versus the promoter, the clown, the basketball player.
And even
the whole
you know they was gonna say that.
Exactly.
Well, I was gonna let you call your own truth.
The womanizer, the Chris that, oh, he ain't
But real question, like, you could ask yourself, did you even know Chris at that point? Did you know Terry Miss at
and
that look, point?
And that's the thing about it. I didn't.
Exactly.
It took me a little, that's why I'm so grateful, because it gave me time for self-discovery. Because mm-hmm. if you have seen me from a mugshot to the time them cell doors are open, they say, all the way, ATW, man.
Complete different.
I went in there scared, broken, confused, and lost. I came out better. Built, focus, knowing. Like people say, believe. I don't believe in believing what I know.
Mm-hmm.
Like, y'all can't tell me God ain't real. No one don't tell me what personal relationship with God. Boom. Until y'all have to be in that moment, like Kobe even said, until you in that moment when you need him and you know, it ain't gonna be no more questions. But like, I came out so much better on the other side than I went in. And for that alone, I am
forever grateful.
Forever grateful.
Yeah.
Because if I was kept going the way I was going, no.
I tell people all the time, man, I'm very, Trey definitely did die May 9th.
Yeah.
Like, the old version of who I was and the things that I was partaking in. Back in that time, I'm like, yeah, nah, somebody did die, and they needed to.
Yep.
If I'll be honest with you, they needed to.
Yep. And that part never come back.
Yeah.
Like,
they won't. That, yeah, no, yeah. That part been there for years now. And it allowed me to become the person that I am now. And so,
Chris, I said Chris when that cell Terrence came out.
100%.
They're like, will a real Terrence please stand up?
Nah, yeah. I love everything you done created, man. It's not too many people, especially from our city, that go into a situation and come out and find light. A lot of people get stuck in the circle of going right back in. Okay. Just everybody done gave up on them. They listen to the stories. They listen to the, and they, you know, it just starts a cycle.
Oh, yeah.
And so I commend you, and always had the respect for you, but it just grew even more to see you take something that so many people tried to rewrite your story, for you to grab the confidence and then jump back in front of it and create your own narrative, create your own story again. That, again, just showed the man that you become. Bro, appreciate so respect it. To that, for sure.
I appreciate it. Look, I'm just... Dang, I feel like a cliche if I say cliche right now, but look, I'm just a nobody. Trying to tell everybody about somebody.
That's it.
That saved... It. I think like most people say everybody, but he saved me. Mm-hmm. And appreciate you for that, because look... They still trying to rewrite my story, but they don't understand they ain't the author. They ain't the one that got the pen in their hand. The person got their pen in their hand is higher and more powerful than they ever know.
Always.
And for you alone, man, I'm proud of you as well, too, because, like I said in the beginning, if I'm giving you accolades, I ain't saying nothing. I ain't trying to kiss ass. You're a great father. I know you're a great brother. Because... I seen you out there and about before, and let me come down to it. You go to bat for any one of your brothers. Night blood on the even blood. You're a great friend, great son.
Bro, Ma, that was for you. Bro, he did that for you, man.
And look, Trey, a good person, man. Look, I may first time meeting, may have been jokes and all other stuff, but. People don't understand this. This is one thing about me. Most people never know. If I can't joke with you, that means I don't fuck with you.
Real shit.
So if I don't joke with you, that lets you know right there.
Now you know what you're saying. Now you know what the thing is, man.
Yeah.
For sure.
So just let you know that. And I'm just grateful for all the accomplishment you're doing. Basketball-wise, family-wise, whatever you're stepping into. Just keep your head up, keep focused. Look, like I said, nobody can control your narrative but you. And the writer already, man, he already got everything planned.
Exactly. So, man. That's where their piece at right there.
And don't let the naysayers or the people that ask take away your piece. And from what you told me from the beginning, before we even started this episode, bro, I'm proud of you for that part too. Ain't for them to know,
but yeah,
for still, sure. Look, you're a king in my book.
Hey, man, salute. I appreciate it. Same here, here, man. So remember, thank you for having me on, man. That's I already knew I was gonna come at some point whenever I got free. I apologize because hey. I know multiple conversations about making this happen, but I was like, nah, definitely right after Father's Day with everything that happened. I was like, the time was perfect.
The timing is perfect. And it's in men's mental health month too. So.
Oh, absolutely. So, yeah, see? I forgot about it. Social media made me forget about that. See?
Look, I know. It's Pride month too.
Social media made me forget about that. So I had to get out of it.
Look, that's why people be like, oh, you impatient? I was like, man, look. If I'm on it, I'm on it. If I'm not, I'm not. I don't pay attention to it. Like, my phone be on do not disturb the majority of the time.
I feel you. Cause not, the day's not long enough sometimes, but
oh yeah, but man, I just thank you for coming on and finally sharing everything you've been through and went through. Hopefully somebody here at home learn something, grow from it, and shoot, if you know somebody that's been through something similar to this, check on them. It's okay. I know sometimes it is reliving the past. Sometimes you even gotta ask them about what they've been through. Just make sure they're okay. And let them know you're there that they need to talk. Even if they don't need to talk, they just need to hang out and just sit there.
Anything, man.
Just be there.
Just extend the hand.
Extend the hand. Be there for your fellow brothers. Even the people you don't even know, man. Don't be afraid to step out of the program that this world got us in. We can help one another. We can grow one another. Don't envy one another for what they have, what they don't have, or what you don't have.
we all here trying to make it together. So stop being violenced. Just learn how to communicate, to understand. If you need help, just ask. If we can't help you, we can find somebody that can. But man, Trey, man, I just want to say thank you again for coming on and sharing.
Oh yeah, I'll definitely be back.
Oh yeah,
for sure.
Oh yeah,
I'll definitely be back.
Yeah, Ed, I know you've seen this. You're gonna see this episode.
Bro, I'm pretty sure he's blowing my phone up while on the hour. You know, so he definitely coming. That's gonna be an episode for sure.
And I was then the invitation to you as well too.
Oh man.
But LaMelo Ball of Milton. Milton.
Him out of Pensacola?
You're not in Pensacola.
Oh, you kicked him out to Pensacola. That's crazy.
Hey, you're welcome, Kalu.
His words, not mine.
You're welcome. But look, we have our own relationship. Other than me and Trey got a relationship. So from our times together at the next end with 40 folks. So we will retouch on those later on.
Yeah, y'all got your own episode.
It's kind of time for us to get ready to go. So man, look, I want to thank y'all for coming and tuning in to this episode from Boys to Men. I want to thank Trey for coming in. I want to give a shout out to Keyshawn, my engineer, for coming in and helping out. Man, straight off of work with a hectic customer the last minute. Boy been stressing. So Keyshawn, if you ever need somebody to lean on, look, lean on me when you're not strong.
Oh, yeah, that my key for sure.
I'll be your friend. I'll help you carry on. For it won't be long till I'm gonna need somebody to lean on. Look, man. I got to give a shout out to Monk. He saw that at church, so he's only got stuff in my head. But look, don't be afraid to lean on somebody, y'all. But remember this, y'all dream big dreams, because small dreams have a little magic. And how big would you dream, you know, you couldn't fail. And remember this, you do your best, let God take care of the rest. Man, I love y'all. Thank y'all. Tuning in. Hey, we just starting. Just let y'all, we back. So peace, love, and happiness. We out. Don't forget, lean on me.
Better throw some respect on my name. Gotta remind these folks on the daily. Cause I ain't really been myself as lately. My mind's evolving and my heart is changing. Starting to see the world how it should be. It's positively sweet like a half full glass of tea. And I don't know every day my grandmama pray for me. Exactly what she proudly say about me. Give that girl some love.